We're going through the book of Acts here, and such a blessing to my heart because God acts upon His people. He has a plan, and He doesn't make mistakes. When people try to nitpick His word, you're trying to find problems through it, and they can't. You can't unless a person is so narrow-minded that they believe that there is many truths out there. But with Jesus Christ, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, if we give the Bible a chance, then it will speak to us. And it did that for me back on December 14th, 1979, when I accepted Christ into my heart. So we have to give God a chance to work in our lives. Why I'm saying that is because as we look at what happened here with Paul, Paul had just finished up his third missionary journey. He was going to have a homecoming. He was coming back to Jerusalem. He was going to visit his friends. And remember, Paul had been away. He's been away there for about three missionary journeys, expanding about 10 years. And he had gone many miles. Some people think up to 7,000 miles altogether by the time all three journeys were completed by land and sea. But he comes home and, you know, he's welcomed, and he has, you know, people there at the church meeting him, the elders. And we talked about that last week. The apostles had pretty much dispersed and they were out evangelizing at this time. And so you have Paul who's there and he's meeting with the people at the church. And you know what happens sometimes with people? If people don't like you, they start making up lies. They start telling untruths. And there were a group of people who did not like Paul for what he was. And they started saying, well, he doesn't believe in the circumcision. He doesn't believe in the Mosaic law. He's saying that he's done away with it. But we also know, and Paul did at this time, that he knew truth. And thank God for truth. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus even said this. He says, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In the idea in that writing, it's a double negative. I have not come to destroy. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill everything that's there. So Paul was thinking about this. When we share Christ with people, we're saying Jesus came into the world and to fulfill prophecy. And all prophecies have been fulfilled containing until he comes back. That means Jesus could come back. We had men's prayer breakfast the other day, and one guy says, well, does that mean that all the prophecies have been fulfilled in the Bible pertaining to Christ before he comes back? I was like, yes, yes, he's coming back. I'm so excited. And, you know, we should be, because we see it in our lives. We see it with our loved ones. Jesus is coming back. We should live it every day, and we do. We do because we believe it. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe it. And I tell you what, the way this world's going, we got something much better than this world, amen? So Paul, here he was. He was coming back, had a homecoming, and all of a sudden the bad news started coming in. I think he pretty much realized that, because remember, wherever he went, he had opposition. Wherever we go, somebody says, you know, your worst enemy is yourself, and I believe that's true to a certain extent. Paul oversaw that, and he realized the enemy was not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Okay, there's an evil force in this world who does not want us. I mean, it wants us to stop what we're doing and throw it all away. There's people who throw their lives away today, and they have nothing to show for it because they gave up. Don't give up. Keep going on. Maybe just around the corner, God has an answered prayer for us. God has something good for us. Don't give up. Paul didn't do that. And as it was, he continued in the ministry. And so with his arrival in Jerusalem, we see here today is Paul's arrest. What better way to stay where you're at than being arrested? Well, obviously, we wouldn't want to do that. And there were reasons for this going on. As we see here in Acts, looking through Acts here, and with that arrest and Paul's arrest in Acts 21, 27 through 40, we see, first of all, there's going to be a riot at the temple. You know, I just read this morning that there was a riot in Indonesia. This is this morning's news. And if you ever been to a soccer game, that's just ripe for a riot, especially in South America and different places in the world. Hey, I've always liked soccer since I was a kid. You know, in fact, the coach, head coach of the Baltimore Bays, just lived right down the road from me back in the 60s, and I'm good friends with his son. We never heard about riots at soccer games at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. So, but point is that this tragedy, 180 people died because the score was 3-2, and you had people who were pushing. You ever been a large crowd of people and they just push and they push and you feel like you're being squeezed in? Well, that's the way it is at concerts, at different places where people stand and they listen to music and other gatherings there. Well, anyway, these mobs came in and they trampled over people and killed them. And so what I say, if you get around a mob of people like that, is to stay away from them. But Paul, here he was, minding his own business. Now remember, he wanted to reach Jewish people, and so he decided to do a Nazarite vow. And all that was is basically separating yourself unto the Lord. And we looked at this last week in Deuteronomy, how you would shave your head, how you would abstain from different things. He found four other people, and they decided they were going to be separated for 7 days. 7 days to cleanse themselves. Look at verse 17, and 27, excuse me. And it says here, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people, and laid hands on them. So they went inside the temple, and they were going to give their homage to God, and they were separated. Paul was showing his main issue was is this, his point, was that I want to be like God's people, God's Jewish people. Remember, the temple was still there. This is around 58 A.D., and in 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed. So you had Christians, people getting saved at this time. The word of God was being on fire, spread out everywhere in that part of Asia. And you had people that were coming to the temple, coming to Jerusalem, and they were still remembering the sacrifices and things that were going on, Christians. And you say to yourself, well, wasn't that done away with? Well, yes, it was. You know, the veil was rent in half. You had things that happened. Jesus fulfilled what there was, the animal sacrifices, but you still had that going on. And so Paul was saying to reach these people, I wanted to go in and show them, even though Christ did fulfill all this, that I am still Jewish too. And he was. And I'm not talking about, you know, you have to be Jewish to be saved. No. Paul made it very clear. He was saying, look, I want to be all things to all people that I may lead them to Christ. We are here today. We are all things to all people that we pray that the God of this world would just dissipate and the light and the Shekinah glory will come into people's lives and they'll understand the gospel because it's only God that saves us. We can't save ourselves. We live in a very dark world, a very counterfeit world. And things that were created by God are being misused. So going back to the temple, Paul went in there with four men and they had claimed the Nazarite vow. It was a very good thing because Paul was saying, look, I'm like you all, but I have Jesus in my heart. And you had some that were there. It was a very confusing time because you had some that were saying, oh, well, you know, Paul doesn't believe in the circumcision. Oh, really? And guess what, too? He doesn't believe in the Mosaic law. He says that's all done away with. But they never tell you the other half of the truth. And that's when people start to get this mob mentality. You know, it starts off with the herd mentality, a bandwagon effect. They're influenced by their peers and what they're doing, and these large gatherings they'll have. And then before you know it, is that they'll start thinking of agendas and half-truths and mistruths that mislead them and can manipulate others. You know, you cannot trust one source. You have to go to multiple sources. Remember when you were in high school and you had to do a paper? What did the professor say? You need multiple sources. You need to go ahead and not just from one, but many. Okay, so these people were hearing about these lies. They didn't check on it. Look here in verse 28. So they're ready to lay hands on him. And remember, they did the same thing to Stephen as well. We don't have time to get into that. But if you look in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 12, you had the same people causing problems. And it says, verse 28, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law of this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and have polluted this holy place. It's interesting that archaeologists have found two plaques at the temple, and it reads such as this. It says, no foreigner is to enter within the gates of the temple and or enclosure around the temple area. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his own death, which is will follow. So there were plaques. There were people that told you, do not go into this temple. Well, thank God through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord will be saved. Whosoever shall call on him and ask for his love. But a person has to be repentant, has to come to an end of themselves. And Christ can start with the beginning, a new life in them, and they can go onward. I remember when I accepted Christ into my heart, I could not come up. There used to be an altar call. These people used to come forward and accept Christ in their heart. I couldn't. I was too shy. I was scared to come forward. But you know what? Christ, I accepted Christ into my heart. I said, Lord, please save me. I'm a sinner. I realized that what I did. And, you know, you can forgive me of all my sins. All my sins. And I never experienced anything like that before. The love of Christ. And I tell you what, it changed my life forever. Never been the same since. And I tell you what, with Paul, he was there. People hated him because of the truth. You go out today, you speak the truth, you talk about the truth, and you'll get opposition. When you have the Antichrist spirit in this world today, you're not going to be liked. You're going to be put down. You're going to be harassed. You're not going to be particularly cared about. And so it's everywhere. You know, people just don't want to hear the truth. People need to hear the truth. They're going to hear it because by preaching of the word, it was what? Foolishness to them because they didn't understand. But we understand as Christians, amen. Paul understood that. The believers understood that. But you had these rebel rousers, these people causing problems. So they took Paul out of the temple and they started to beat him. You ever get around a mob? It's a very horrendous thing, a horrible thing. And people have literally, you know, practically been pulled apart, let alone been beaten to death. So God was very merciful. And behind all this, we had the author of confusion. That's Satan. And it says here in John 8:44, it says this, that he is the author of confusion. 44 says this, are you of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do? He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. You know, lies happen, there's confusion. You're saying, well, you know, what is the truth anymore? A lot of people are like that today. They're confused by churches. They're confused by the school system. They're confused with families. We're just seeing that happen more and more today with our government trying to diffuse the family, taking down the family. And Satan's got a stronghold on the government now. Now he's going after the family. And then, of course, with this transgender garbage. And God made a male, male, and a female, female. And I tell you what, if anybody had ever messed with my kids, I'd be pretty upset. And you would be too. And our grandkids too. You know, leave them alone. They're made in the image of God. And you cannot tell a four-year-old girl that she's a boy. No, that's just wrong. And so you have also the next step is they're going to come after the churches. That's their next institution. There's three of them, government, family, and the church. God has ordained. So you have Paul, he's out, he's being beaten up, okay? It's not a very pleasant thing to go through, but Paul had been beaten up before because of the gospel of grace. So we see here that verse 30, and all the city was moved, the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, wherewith the doors were shut. So in other words, there are different locations within the temple, and they took Paul out, and they closed the doors on him, so he could not get back in. They were shut, and that was a sign of, Paul, you should never have been here. And it's interesting, because we're going to see here in a minute that there were more excuses here. In verse 29, it says, for they had seen before him in that city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. So they were saying to themselves, hey, one person said they saw you with somebody else. Oh, is that right? Now, who are they going to believe? It was amazing that the captain of the guard of the Roman garrison, which was just on the northwest corner, saw what was going on, and he believed in justice. We, in our judicial system, have got everything backwards today. And God is a God of justice. And our Constitution is based on the Bible. And unfortunately, you have people who lie, who tell that the truth is a lie and a lie of truth. And they will tell you, oh, there is nothing in stone. Okay? They will tell you it doesn't exist. And so how do you know? And that's a very shaky and a very bad place you never want to be. So this person said, yeah, we saw this guy from Ephesus that Paul knew. He came down here, was hanging out with Paul, went into the temple, and he was Gentile. And the Gentile wasn't supposed to be in the temple. You know, you have the court of the Gentiles, and you have the court of women. You have different courts. Gentiles could come into the court there, okay, in the temple. And that was very on the far extremity there. But apparently, this man went in further into the temple with Paul, which never happened, by the way. He might have been there, but doesn't necessarily he went in there. And did anybody ask? No. And that's the sad part when rumors and gossip and lies start. You know, people don't go to the source. We call it secondhand knowledge. They don't study it for themselves. And that's what's gotten a lot of people in society in trouble today. Because they don't go to the source. They don't figure it out for themselves. They're just too busy. We live in a very busy society, and we have many ways of media today. But, you know, it all starts with the mouth, and it ends with the mouth, and people get in so much trouble with the mouth. So we need to make choices and go to our sources. So there he was. He was blamed for something that never happened. The first lie. You're not keeping the law. You're not keeping the circumcision. No, Paul says, I'm here because Christ came to fulfill that. I believe Christ did that. Second of all, there were lies too about this man coming from Ephesus. And, you know, hey, we were there, but we never went into the inner part of the temple. We were there in the Gentile court. And of course, that's all people need to see, to make a half-truth. We have to be careful ourselves that we don't fall into that trap, you know, because love doesn't do that. Check out 1 Corinthians 13. Love thinks no evil, thinks no wrong. So, it's better to be up and above and think good things of people, even though you question them sometimes, their motives. And that shouldn't be our motive anyway. Our motive should be Christ first, others second, ourselves last, and let God take care of the situation, whatever it is in our lives. So there goes Paul. And then we see here that God is in the rescuing business. God can rescue us from life's problems. And we see here in verse 31, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came on to the chief captain of the band, and that was of all Jerusalem, that was in uproar. So basically, his chief captain, he had over 1,000 Roman soldiers there under his command to basically keep guard of Jerusalem. It was a pretty big place and a lot of people. And he decides to send out a couple of centurions. Now, centurions were in charge of 100 people apiece, 100 soldiers apiece. So, you know, God can use whatever he wants to keep us in guard, keep us in line, and protect us. So we see here, and they went about to kill him. And there was a fortress there. God knew that. And down the road, you know, when we find problems coming up in our life, God always has something there to protect us, something to guard us. Keep that in mind. So it says here, he were immediately took the soldiers, the centurions, and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. So here comes the Romans. Soldiers. And they come down, and of course, the people there, the Jews had a problem with rioting. They were a thorn in the flesh. Not one leader who was in charge of Jerusalem or in charge of the Jews, as historians would tell us, that were really okay with the Jewish people, because they were annexed out of, remember, Rome. They were told to leave Rome. In the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey, they went down to these different cities of Berea and Corinth and Thessalonica. Jewish people started streaming in. But, you know, the hot spot was Jerusalem. And the Romans were there just to keep guard of them. They had a puppet king there as well. And so what happened was is that God's in control. God's in control when things go wrong. Verse 33, and the chief captain came near and took him, commanding him to be bound in two chains. Remember, this was a fulfilling of prophecies we looked at last week in Acts 21, 10, 11, that the prophet Agabus had told Paul, look, you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to have problems. Remember, there are many people telling him in the past few sermons, don't go to Jerusalem. And we talked about if God has called you to do something, do it. God will take care of you. You are there in your lifetime to take care of what God's called you to do. Don't think that for a minute we're alone. We're not. God has called us because he has a purpose, and you are called. God has gifted you. He has blessed you, and he has called you for a purpose. So do it, right? We all do it. We're here, and we have responsibilities at home and things that we do. And Paul saw this coming. So he knew he was going to be bound by his hands and by his feet. And, you know, and we talked about that last week too. I don't think any of us would want to know what our future holds to us. We wouldn't want to know if we were going to be arrested for our faith 10 years from now. We would probably start to plan things differently or try to change things. I really believe God doesn't allow things for us to know because he has a plan. If we did it that way, if we knew, then we wouldn't be doing God's work. I think God wants us to be doing his work, going by faith, through grace, believing what he was going to do. And the joy that we have in saying, you know what, God, I can't see you, I can't taste you, I can't smell you, I can't feel you, but I believe you're there, and I believe the clouds were to open up, you're right there on the throne. Just the God just peeled across the sky. He's right there. So what do I have to be worried about? You know? And we have a world of worried people. A lot of people get worried today. And so God wants us to believe in faith by and joy and with the hope that we have in him. So, and then you had some that cried one thing and another among the multitude, verse 34, and when he could not know the certainty of the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. So in other words, this man, this captain, I thought it was just wonderful because, you know, at the worst, allowing religious prejudice, mob mentality to attack the innocent, and at the best, allowing the search for truth to change one's opinion and to be open for more information. We live in a society today, not all court systems, but you almost feel like you're guilty before you prove it innocent. You should be innocent before you're proven guilty. And with the justice system, you know, our way our forefathers set it up, it was just wonderful. But, you know, next month, this November already, this is October, what, 3rd or 2nd? And, you know, we need to go to the polls. We need to fight for our freedom. And we need to stand up for what we believe in. And so, looking at this, you see that they cried out more and there was confusion. And he was taken to this fort. King James calls it castle. It wasn't a castle, it was, you know, a fort. But that's why, you know, you get some of these medieval words and passages. But I think King James comes very close to what it means. And then when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne the soldiers of the violence of the people. The multitude of the people followed after crying, "Away with him! Away with him!" Remember Jesus, they said the same thing about him. Away with him. John 19, verse 15 says this, "But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have none but Caesar." You know, we have to make a choice down the road. Whether we're going to follow Jesus Christ, I really believe this, down the road, unless the Lord comes back, I believe the people behind the scenes are going to turn in on the church. The way I'm saying that is because it's becoming more intensified. They're trying to take away our liberties, our freedom. Paul had a freedom. We have a freedom. It's called, we have our liberty in Christ to make choices, to do things that God has called us to do. So Paul used it wisely. He used it to be a blessing to others and to bless God. In the way that the word blessed means to praise God. So I'm going to praise God amongst one another and others can see that. I'm going to praise the Lord himself. So there he was. They said, away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? And now he thought, you have to look in the historical background here. There was a group of Egyptian rebels about 3 years before, historically, that wanted to come in and take over Jerusalem. And out of those 4,000, 400 of them had died. Now, of course, this was a Roman district. And you always have people that are trying with uprising. Remember what happened with some of these cities that they did with George Floyd? They bring in And this is documented. It's there. They come in with Ryder trucks and U-Haul trucks. These people from different areas of the country arm these people, bring them into different cities and cause riots. Well, because they want to change things. They want to cause anarchy. You get anarchy going, and then you have the breaking down of society, and then you have people coming in and fighting amongst one another, opposite groups, and then you have the government taking over everything. And that's what's going to happen if this continues in this country. Paul himself decided that he was not part of that opposition. He wasn't part of any group or part of any committee. He was part of the church. And he was there because he cared and he spoke the truth. And they were saying to him, well, are you part of this uprising that we had, this Egyptian? You speak Greek. And Greek, the Koine Greek, was from 300 B.C. to 300 A.D. So it was the world's most common language. What does Paul do? He turns around and says, I can speak Hebrew too. It must be nice to know different languages to use that for the glory of God. Paul never flaunted it off. He didn't put a bunch of letters behind his name, even though he was one of the best, well-educated men around. He wasn't all that good-looking. He wasn't of the world. You know, he had problems with his eyesight. He had issues. But he loved the Lord, so that was more powerful. As far as we're concerned, amen, that's more important, to have the Spirit of God just flow from you. And so he was not the leader. He says, verse 38, art thou not the Egyptian, which came before these days, made us an uproar, lead us out of the wilderness, 4,000 men, and were murderers. So that whole plot was squashed. They wanted to come in and take over Jerusalem, which never happened, but there were still men out there, still rebels that wanted to overtake that. So, verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which is am a Jew of Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, the citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. So he's saying, look, number one, I'm a Roman citizen. Number two, I'm from Calcutta, a Roman province. Number three, you can look in my background, in my history, and I am a Jew, and I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, and I'm a man that believes in God, and I'm not here to cause problems, but you have a few of those who like to usurp authority and cause problems. So he's telling the captain here, hey, I'm here because I want to listen to this. In verse 40, and when he had given him license, that means the okay, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned up with his hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spoke unto them in the Hebrew tongue. You know, we're stopping there for this morning. It's amazing when God wants to get attention of people, there's silence. You know, I have a pickup truck and I got scripture verses on it. And I do it for the Lord because I want people to get God's attention. I want God to get their attention. It's like this. Oh my goodness. I went out in the parking lot twice this week and there were people sitting. One man was sitting in his car and it was parked on a crooked angle looking right at my truck at the scripture verse, John 3:16. And I went over and I thought, that's kind of odd. You know, right over by the pick and save. And I said, what you looking at? Just being friendly. He goes, I'm looking at that verse on there. He goes, I've never seen it that way before. That's interesting. You know, we started talking about God, and it's God that gets people's attention. It has nothing to do with the truck or what's on the truck. It's his word. That's what I'm trying to say. God gets our attention. A few days later, I'm way on the other side of the town, Delafield, and it's the same thing going on. Guy's got his window down, his car running, he's just staring at the truck. And I'm like, hey, nice day, isn't it? He goes, wow. He goes, that verse, I've never seen it that way before. I've seen it that way, but I've never seen it that way before. It had nothing to do with me or the truck. It was all about God. God was talking to him. So I thought, okay, Lord, what do I do? And I was like, okay. And we talked for a little bit. He was a Christian. But he says, wow, I've just never seen it that way. You know, it just fascinated him. Just that one verse. But that's the way God is. And that's what happened with this captain. He heard what Paul was talking about, and he's like, wow, I really, you know, I want to be fair. I want to be a man of justice. These people are treating you unfair. I want to see what's right. I guess what I'm trying to say is God, life may not be easy, but God is fair. He is very fair. When we give him a chance, we have time to look at his word. Maybe something different will pop up and say, you know, I've never seen it that way. I'm thinking about it, but you know, I want to give God a chance. And you know, if I do that, maybe he'll say something to me. And I have been at different times closing out. I have sat, listened to the preachers preach, and I'm thinking, okay, I've heard that sermon before. Okay, I'm not talking about a canned sermon. I don't do canned sermons, but I've heard that passage before, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what have you got for me today? What are you trying to tell me today? It's not about me and this flesh. It's about the Spirit of God and what God's Word says in there. So Paul was going to be arrested, and he was going to be taken down, as the world says, but God supersedes everything, and God spoke to this man who was going to protect you, him. God can protect us today. God has probably allowed us not to be going home to heaven so soon. You know, there's been times, maybe accidents, things happening in your life. You said, you know, I should have been gone a long time ago. But by the grace of God, so am I today. And a lot of us have been there. You know, God can supersede anything, and he does that. Paul knew that he was going to be arrested. You know, we can be very thankful that God protects us and he cares about us. And so, you know, we need to focus in on that and pray.